Last week in Job chapter 19, and I'm just going to read pretty much the same verses I read last week, but I want to talk something a little different. Job chapter 19, and I want to begin reading again in verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eye shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I'm going to stop right there again. And a little bit of repetition. What did Job want written down? And actually, what did get written down? Well, it was what Job wanted. What Job asked for. Job knew his Redeemer lives. And because of this, Job stated, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, I was doing a little more checking. This is after, you can blame this on Paul if you want. After we talked on the porch, I got to pondering some things. And I did some checking, and this is actually the first instance of the word Redeemer in the Bible. Right here, Job chapter 19. This is the very first time this word Redeemer is written down in the Bible, and the first thing that's said about him is, he lives.
Amen.
A, he's a Redeemer, and B, he lives. That's two good things. Then we learn that because Job's Redeemer lives, Job shall live. Even though he dies on this planet. We learn that because Job's Redeemer lives, Job shall see God for himself. Now I got to remember to look down when I'm looking at you. I look up blurry. Okay. It changed the habits of a lifetime. We learn this very first time the word Redeemer is mentioned, that he lives, and because of that, Job's going to live, and Job's going to see God, even though he dies. Folks, that's what you call an entrance. That's making an entrance. Job knew a person. Job's Redeemer was a person who lives. Job's Redeemer is God. Who, not what, is who we need to know. This person that Job knew was his Redeemer. Job didn't know if he was anybody else's Redeemer. Job only knew about himself. And that's the way it works. I don't know who else is redeemed. I have good thoughts about myself sometimes. Not about anything I've done, but about what he's done for me. I may have a hope from certain observed behavior of certain people. I may have a good hope. But I don't know anybody else. But I know my Redeemer lives. It is a personal relationship, even back in the Old Testament. Now, the Redeemer says he's the Redeemer of a whole lot of other people. I believe him. But I don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. Job didn't know who they were. But he knew his Redeemer lives. Now, when I was doing my checking, this is the one time the word Redeemer is used in Job. Two times it's used in Psalms. One time it's used in Proverbs. One time in Jeremiah. Now, this is just the word Redeemer, not redemption. But it's used 13 times in the book of Isaiah. And the first time it's used in Isaiah is in Isaiah 41, which is the second portion of the book of Isaiah, in the second portion of the book of Isaiah. And I thought I'd throw this in because this is one of those odd facts, and most people may know it, but some people may not. The book of Isaiah is sort of a picture of the whole Bible. It's kind of weird, but it's true. Do it yourself. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, and there are 27 books in the New Testament. Now, I use a calculator, so this is that gives you a total of 66 books in the Bible. There are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And the first 39 are separate from the latter 27. Beginning in chapter 40, there's a difference. Now, most scholars believe that the second 27 chapters of Isaiah were written by somebody else. Now, I will preface this by saying most scholars are wrong about most things about the Bible. I believe that. Now, they may be right about dates, and sometimes it's a little iffy. But most scholars are wrong most of the time about anything dealing with Christ in the Bible. Now, they say the second 27 chapters are written by somebody they call Deutero-Isaiah. And I still remember when Earl and I talked about this in his kitchen. He mentioned that, and I said, yeah, I said, they said the last half of it was written by some guy named Deutero-Isaiah. And Earl just started laughing. That's what they call him. Now, this is because the message, I don't know how to say this, the message, the writing seems to change with Isaiah chapter 40. There's a different tone. The message is still the same. But there is a change, and you'll see it. Beginning in Isaiah chapter 40, he starts off, verse 1, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. That's a good start to any chapter. But I believe the Holy Spirit, and the reason for this change you see in the book of Isaiah was, he was writing down what God told him to write down. He was moved by the Holy Spirit. And this is what he told him to write down. Now, if somebody has a problem with that, and they think somebody else... See, they're dealing with somebody's, and to be honest, it could have been a different person. I don't know, but I don't think so because it still says Isaiah there. But the words that are written down, the truth that is related in the book of Isaiah is true. All 66 books, or 66 chapters. But anyhow, 13 times he uses the word Redeemer. And I've got a few of them down here. In Isaiah 41 and 14, this is the very first one. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. 43 verse 14, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in their ships. 44 and verse 6, saith, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. I know that my Redeemer live it. The Redeemer is God. The Redeemer is God. The Lord of hosts. The Holy One of Israel. Most of the ones in Isaiah read the same sort of way. Take it to Isaiah 59 and verse 20. This one's a little special. It says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." I know my Redeemer liveth. And in the latter day, he's going to stand on this earth. The Redeemer's coming. Isaiah agrees. The Redeemer is God, and the Redeemer's coming. And he did stand in Zion. And he will again. Now, I'm just going to skip the rest of them. There's a reason Job knew his Redeemer liveth. Job needed redemption. You don't have a Redeemer if you don't need being redeemed. And the word redemption, according to Strong's Concordance, is a releasing, effected by payment of ransom. There's a debt owed. Somebody's got to pay it. There's a debt owed, and someone has got to pay it. Every man needs redemption. There's only been one man on this planet ever that didn't need redemption, and that was the Redeemer.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Every man needs redemption, but God, the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and the Redeemer has promised it only to some. There is a price to be paid for offending God. There is a payment to be made. Actually, there is a payment that was made.
Amen.
By the Redeemer.
Yeah.
But in Job's time, there was a payment to be made. And it gets a little better sometimes when you think about those 14 times I looked, and the Greek word they give every time for the word Redeemer, every time it's used, it's the same word, Gaol, Kinsman, Redeemer.
Yeah.
I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, the Kinsman, Redeemer. He's going to redeem his family. He came to receive, to redeem, to purchase, to buy back his chosen people. Also called the family of God. Now, the reason I thought about this is what we talked about on the porch. I'm going to tell on Paul, he's been on Facebook. Shame on you. I feel bad just because I know what it is. Debbie had me put her on Facebook for Jason. She ain't never been up on it. And I haven't looked at it in 6 months. I don't know if I have any friends or not. But Paul's been up on Facebook. And to be honest now, Paul has been talking about Christ on Facebook. And that's probably the best use of it. Although sometimes it could be the worst use of it for some people. But he'd been talking with a fellow who was, fixated, is that a good word, on justified by faith. But we're justified by faith. That's scripture.
Yeah.
It is. It's in there 3 times. All 3 times are written by the same guy named Paul, the apostle. But that same guy, Paul, the apostle, who wrote, "We are justified by faith," also wrote, "Faith is the gift of God."
Yeah, amen.
And that's what Arminians and free will people don't understand.
That's right.
We're justified by faith, which was his gift to us. But there's a lot more than just justified by faith. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Hebrews 9 and 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained, past tense, eternal redemption for us. Jesus Christ is redemption. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. They have been justified by faith as being the same thing as being justified by believing. I've been there. I know what to teach. And that's getting it confused with redemption. They think they're justified by their believing. Because people think, and they think this honestly, because this is what they're taught, that faith is something we do. And faith is a gift of God. It is not something we do. It is something believers have. The regenerate has faith because God gave him faith. And they confuse faith with believing because their preachers are confused that faith is believing. Believing is what we do with a God-given faith. True believing. Walter, we use that example all the time because I stole it from you too. But. Well, and there's something Henry Mahan preached that really kind of spooked me a long time ago. False faith, false believing can prevail. There are those who hold their false faith, their false thoughts, their false believing until the very end and come to Christ and say, "Didn't we do wonderful works in your name?" That's spooky. That is. We are justified by faith, given by God. Now, if your faith is something you worked up in yourself, and your believing is of yourself, or because of something somebody else told you, and not from God, that's a whole other story. True Christians believe because of the faith given to them by God. And they know it is not of themselves, and their believing does not justify them, because my believing is not perfect. It's not even close. I wish it was better. Even with a perfect faith given to me by God, I can't believe perfectly. I wish I could. Now, I know how most people think because I used to be like them. Most people think it's their believing that saves them. They've come to the front of a church. They've made a decision for Jesus. This is what they were told to do, and they did it. And they think they're okay. They think they have become redeemed. Redemption is over. Redemption happened over 2,000 years ago, or right around there. Redemption is what Christ does. It's what Christ did. He offered his blood to God once. That's it. That's all there is. That's all there ever needs to be. Because he was accepted by the Father. And everyone in him from before the foundation of the world is accepted by the Father in him. Back then. Redemption is past. We're here now. But redemption has happened. That's good news. I do feel bad for certain people because this justification by believing that they have is all they know. Because it's all you'll hear anywhere else other than some strange places like this. And maybe in some old dusty books if somebody would be happy enough to read them and wade through them. It's not the modern vision of Christianity that is preached at this place. And I do feel bad because I have talked to people, and I know some of you guys have too, and you've talked to people and you told them, if you told them Jesus Christ redeemed his people, he saved his people from their sins 2,000 years ago. He made one offering to God and that was it. And God accepted it, and we are accepted in the Beloved. And you tell people this, and they'll look at you because they have never heard this before in their life. And that's sad. Redemption as an act is over. It is done. It is accomplished. It is finished. But I know my Redeemer lives still. I know my Redeemer lives. Redemption was between the Son and the Father. It's not between me and God, because I can't pay. A releasing from that which you owe by payment, I can't pay. And you can't pay either. But Christ did. He could, he would, and he did. And it is finished. God accepted Christ's offering in full for the sins of his people, his family, his kinsmen. Because he is the kinsman redeemer. And he owns his people. If you are one of his, he owns you. And if you're one of his and you don't know it, he still owns you.
Yes, he does.
He bought and paid for his people, his brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Now, some days I'm a little ashamed to call myself somebody's brethren. I ain't saying nothing about you folks. But he's not ashamed to call me his brother. And I'm tickled to death to call him my elder brother. But if you are one of his, and you don't know it, you will know it. Because he has promised to call each and every sheep his sheep by name. And they'll know him. They will know him. And I like that song. Since we have eternal redemption through blood, the righteous shall hold on his way because of him. That does give me hope. He's my hope. He's my redemption, and I know that he lives. Our Father, thankful again for this time, this place. And Lord, we're most of all thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Thank you for the redemption he did purchase. He paid in full, totally, to you, the offended one. And help us to hold on our way as we go through this world. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.